This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Fake mustache, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low, this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joy.
To the Crab Feast, y'all. It's Tuesday. Got another Crab Feast. Fold that ass.
Ooh, yeah,
dude. I think you know who's sitting across from me right there, y'all. That's Jay Larson, everybody.
Sup, Feastus. Sup, Sickle.
How you doing, Jay Larson?
Chilling. Another Tuesday.
Another Tuesday.
I've been saying Wednesday.
You just got to put this D on all of them, man.
I know.
You know, there's a lot of guys, if you listen to baseball like I do, Sangle's in full force right now, but a lot of guys are like, on Monday, on Tuesday, Phil Sims does that when he announces NFL. He's a D guy.
I got some flack. I was on the Team Coco podcast, and one of the feasts listened to it, and he goes, God damn it, Larson, did I hear you ask them if they had a single bed growing up? That's a single, man. And I was like, I know, man, my bad. What's up, guys? As always, Jay Larson Comedy. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine. Who's vining?
Stop promoting Vine.
Nah, man, it's fun. People like to see it once in a while.
It's bad.
I have fun with it. Sickle cells.
99% of everyone's Vine sucks, except for that one guy you mentioned down in Australia.
If you're listening, if you're watching me on Vine, I appreciate you doing it. And JLawsonComedy.com, as always. As I said last week, I'm in town all of May, and I'm loving it. It's been a long time. So all my in-town dates are on my website. I'm at the Meltdown tomorrow night. If you're in town, it's a great show. And then this weekend, I'm doing a storytelling show, the fourth Two-Headed Monster in Echo Park, and then 12 Shiny Nickels on the West Side later on that same night. So hit me up if you want to come to any of those shows.
A lot of you know that people from my town were affected from the bombings at the marathon. About 6 different people, a couple guys lost legs, and people have shrapnel still in them. So I'm doing a fundraiser on May 6th. It's a Monday night. It's in Los Angeles. The show is at 8:30 at the Comedy Store. The Comedy Store is on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. It's a great venue. We're going to have a great show. It's $20 to get in. $20. All proceeds are going to help victims from my town. And we're going to have a raffle. We have some really cool gifts like Red Sox, Dodgers tickets, box seats, and a couple other things. So, and it's going to be a great night of comedy with a lot of surprise guests. I'm going to be hosting the whole night, so it's going to be really good. Help us. Just tell every single person you know in the area that this is something that they should go to. May 6th. It's 1 week away. You can call the Comedy Store 323-650-6268 for tickets, or go to the link that's on my Facebook page. Thank you, guys. Spread the word. I love you.
Sickler, where you
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, RyanSickler.com. I am at the Holy Fuck Show at the Downtown Independent May 7th. I'm at the Irvine Improv May 31st through June 2nd. And Jay Larson and I will be doing a Crab Feast stand-up show at the Brea Improv on July 24th. I know it's a few months away. We want a packed house. We will have a guest list. All you have to do is email us at crabfeastpodcast@gmail.com. Give me a first and last name, total number of tickets. We'll put you on the guest list, guys.
We're looking forward to that. And we know some of you have been hitting us up that you're going to come in from out of town. We love it. It's going to be a great show. And we're hoping to have a couple other comics on there that have been on the podcast as well. So
if you get confused about anything, always thecrabfeast.com for any and all Crab Feast info.
And if you're even confused after that, there's got to be one reason you're not on our email list, because we explain everything that's coming up like
that's
that, like these kind of shows, on the email list. Some of you have hit us up since we've been promoting it, and we're glad to see you on there, so that's fantastic.
Sign up for the email list. Buy yourself a Fuck the Crab Feast t-shirt. Get on Amazon. Make some purchases. Help the feast.
You guys have been hitting that Amazon, and you've been hitting the Pro Flowers.
Yeah.
You guys are getting ready for Mother's Day. May 12th, by the way. Thank us later. May 12th. Where would we be without our moms, Ry?
I'd probably still be
You'd be exactly who you are. I know.
But if you got any veterans in the family, Memorial Day in May, go ahead and get them some flowers.
Exactly. You can go to the Pro Flowers link at thecrabfeast.com, and you can click, and I'm going to give you my special discount, one time only, Jay Lawson discount, $19.99. That gives you flowers in a vase, and it's a great deal. Pro Flowers, we're very proud. And don't forget, Sea Turtle approves.
Sea Turtle approved. Get over to the Facebook fan page, like it, post, comment, interact. Have fun over there, guys. iTunes page. The funniest page in podcasting. I'll put it up against anybody's.
I'll say one that's getting close is the Facebook page, because guys have been hitting up since we started talking about it a couple weeks ago.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Stitcher.com/Crab Feast if you don't have Stitcher, and you know where else you can get us if you don't have Stitcher or iTunes.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Let's go back to my room so we can do it all night and you can make me feel right. Oh.
We are excited. As excited as Jay Larson singing about Zune right now to have a first-time guest
first
on the Crab Feast.
Man.
We are very excited to bring him here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and welcome to the Crab Feast, Ron G.
Ron G.
Ron G. Thank you for being here, Ron.
Yes,
you're in the building.
I'm in the building.
Before we get jumping off on all this stuff, please tell people where they can find you on Twitter, the website. Just lay it all out there.
Well, first of all, I'll be at my mama house until she get there. She get home around 5. Call me. But yeah, let it ring once and I'll call you back. No, you can find me on Twitter at Comedian Ron G, Comedian R-O-N-G. Also, Instagram, Comedian R-O-N-G. Every Sunday, I host at the Laugh Factory, 2 shows, 8 and 10 o'clock. And I travel a lot, do a lot of colleges and clubs. And you can go to my website, GoRonG.com. It looks like go wrong, but GoRonG.com. That's where I am.
Go, Ron!
That's what it is. Go. And then also, I host a spot on Wednesday called Comedy and Sushi. Real simple name, at Yen Sushi at Westfield Mall in Culver City.
Right on.
Can't say Fox Hill. That's the old school black name. But
oh, it's
Westfield.
Westfield.
Mall.
Bought up every mall in the country now.
Yeah, yeah. Westfield Mall, Yen Sushi on Wednesdays, 8 o'clock.
I'm hosting a competitive show right across the food court at Panda Express at 8:15. So
oh, that's tight show over there.
Bounce back. Ron will be doing sets on both.
I'll be Wednesday night around 8:30. I'll be at P.F. Chang's doing a show. Back room on La Cienega.
Free crab awesome. Rangoons.
Oh, man.
So
crab
come
rangoons
on out,
my
man.
Joint.
8:30. Very competitive. Very
food
competitive.
Samples and jokes all night.
So we're glad to have you here.
Glad to be here, man.
Yeah, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself. So I met you at the Comedy Store.
Man, you was killing
after
that night,
a
dude.
Show. It was a fun night. It
killing,
was.
Man.
It was a good night. Thank you. And we hit it off, and I wanted to get you on here. You're originally from South Carolina?
I was born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina. I attended the University of South Carolina.
Gamecocks, what?
Man, Gamecocks, man.
Did you play? You're built. Did you play
sports? My shirt's tight. I'm not in shape at all. Don't be fooled. My shirt is tight. I went to the University of South Carolina. The whole time I was there, I think in 4.5 years, I think we won one game.
In football?
Football?
In football. We were terrible. But we was always pretty good in basketball and baseball.
Was this pre, what's his face?
This is pre, yeah.
Dude from Florida, what's his name?
Spurrier. Yeah, yeah.
The old ball coach.
Yeah, man. But I finished school, moved to Atlanta, started doing comedy in Atlanta. And because you asked me about being clean, I started at a place called Uptown Comedy Club. Quintessential urban comedy club. Sunday night was Apollo.
So you're a clean comedian.
I'm a clean comedian. But I wasn't always.
You weren't. Okay, that's what
no,
I wanted to get
I started
get
out
okay.
dirty. Everybody in my life cursed. Like, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Your family.
Everybody curses. Yeah, I've heard my pastor say nigga at least twice. I don't know if that's a curse word, but I'm so serious. He said it
in church.
Like, yeah, in church.
In church.
Like, you niggas need to get it together. You're going to hell. Like, whoa, wait a second, pal. Easy. 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 But I started at a place called Uptown Comedy Club. I went through what I called a quarter life crisis, where you go to school for something and your heart tell you something different. You don't quite know what it is. And my cousin was a comic, Trey Black, Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to you.
What's up, Trey Black?
What's up, Trey Black? Black? In the building. He was one of those people. He was like, dude, you need to get on stage, man. So I got fired that week. Like, I lost my job that week. I used to be an accountant. I used to be an accountant.
What? Oh, you were in the business world.
Yeah, yeah. I sucked at it.
Well, so wait. So college, I read you did you get 2 degrees?
Yeah, finance and management.
Dual degrees.
That's what it was, man.
Finance and management.
Yeah, and people don't trust you with their money when you're silly.
Yeah, we got 2 degrees, too.
What was that?
Well, I got English. What was yours?
I got an associate's degree and a bachelor's degree, so I do have multiple degrees.
Associate's from where?
From Catonsville Community College. Catonsville.
Catonsville
Catonsville Community College. It's not even called that anymore.
They also call it Catonsville High.
13th grade.
It's an online community college.
I went. There was no online community college.
Just over the phone.
Man. Yeah, I showed up to get that AA.
Somebody's give me this AA. That's hilarious. Yeah, man. And so I started out there, man, got on stage and got booed and fell in love. And I was, dude, it was so painful because, like, nobody explained to you, like, you can't plan for it.
So wait, set the stage.
I had me a little drink and my cousin.
Is it open mic or what
no,
it was?
No, Apollo Night is like basically you boo, you know, black folks.
But how did you get on this night? You had to audition.
They let you
for
up because they know you knew.
Okay,
like they know you. Like
so they need
put
some.
You up.
They need some
first.
Fresh blood.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I was a sacrificial lamb.
Oh, you want to gamble? Oh, you never played before.
Get that kid's got the initial for the last name. Bring him up here. He said he's done comedy. Never.
So mind you can't plan for a booth. So my cousin gave me. I had one joke. I've been practicing in my head, and the joke was, I was like, I got on stage, and I was like, hey everybody, dating is expensive. My girl asked me to take her out, so I shot her. I'm just playing. I stabbed because guns cost too much. All I heard was boo. So while that was happening,
how many people is this?
Dude, it's a room, little 900. Small. About 200 people, one little small
That's a
club,
lot
man.
Yeah. Of people.
A lot of people. You can feel the wind coming
Hell
from the
yeah.
booth. So then I heard it. Somebody threw me a boo grenade. All I heard was. And like everybody was really, like literally whistling at the same time. Like,
nah.
Boo! Now all this is happening. The cook was the person who started the boo. If you look in the back kitchen, he was like dropping the fries. He was like,
sauté.
Boo! I'm like, you work here, dude.
Yeah.
All this is happening. A dude stood right in front of me. He's like, you can tell straight dope boy. Stood up and was like, hey, kill yourself, bro. And I'm like, ouch. Like,
he told you to kill yourself?
He told me to kill myself while I was performing. I'm like, you don't know what. Like,
I didn't bounce back
run.
From that.
Yeah. I couldn't. I was just standing there like frozen. He was like, boo! And I'm like, what is going on? So
how long were you up there?
Dude, it felt like an hour, but I'm sure it was like two minutes.
God.
Yeah, it was painful. I got through that
Kill
one joke,
yourself,
and that was it. And I was like, hey, wait a second. It was like, shut up, boo. And I was like, wow. So in the club, there's nowhere to sit, so you have to sit by the DJ booth, which is in the middle of the club.
Oh,
and
God.
Everybody looking at you,
yeah.
Why is this happening? So the host came up. He was like, hey, so clearly y'all didn't like him. Give it up one more time for Ron G. It was like, boo. He was like, wait, you mean to tell me every time I say Ron G, y'all boo?
No.
Boo! He's like, hold on. Ron, boo, G, boo, Ron G, boo. And I'm like I wanted to cry, but
Ron,
I couldn't.
Come on over here and sit and face the crowd. Stare right at him in the face.
It was
man.
So painful. Like, and the door
shit.
Was right by the stage, and I wanted to run out, but that just ain't the cool thing to do in the
no
hood, because then you look like a sucker. So I'm sitting there. My cousin,
holy
he was like,
shit.
Tears in his eyes, laughing like, because I looked at him, and he's like, I can't help you. I don't know what to do. And, the show was finally over, and I'm walking back to my car, and the thug, he was like, yo, you terrible, dude. You ain't gonna never be funny. And I was
who
like,
said that?
Some thug. I don't know
a
who he was.
A different one.
Yeah, he was talking.
Oh, my God.
And he was like,
one
oh,
of the 200
boys. Didn't matter who it was. He was like, man.
Hey, man. You
he
suck.
He said, you ain't gonna never be funny. And I was like, man, that's back when I used to curse. I was like, F you, dude. And he was like, F you, get you killed. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and go to my car.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with this anymore.
That's when you went clean.
But no. Actually, I went back like probably like 8 months later.
Okay, so wait. I don't mean to interrupt your
ahead,
story, but you still wanted to do stand-up after that?
How old were you?
I was like 21.
He's like, I was an accountant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
how
21.
Long were you an accountant?
Wasn't that long.
Like, no, it must have been a month.
It wasn't that long, dude.
Just learned to tie the double
from my first job. My first job, I got fired from it. It was painful,
Oh,
man.
You got fired?
I got fired.
You did? Why?
I was silly, man. Like, so you get people don't trust around. You with their money when you're silly?
I no. Mean,
you know, every job got when home office come, everybody just tighten up and act all perfect.
Yeah.
We in the conference room just dying laughing. Me and this other dude named Gilbert, man. And we used to be crying laughing, man. I would send him a stupid note or something. And I'm like, look at dude head, man. We just be laughing. And I'm like, I had to go to the bathroom because I was laughing too hard. And I remember when I got fired, my boss, she called me in the office. You always know that feeling when you about to get fired because your face get hot for no reason. And she called me into the office and she was like, Ron, I don't really know how to say this, but, and my other boss was there, the big boss was there, and he was like, yeah, we had you on the fast track to, you know, get to here by a certain point, and we don't think you're,
Fast track? I've been here 2 weeks, man.
It wasn't long at all.
How fast you think I am?
Throwing
up my tires, man.
Because I walked into a bad situation. I feel like somebody got fired before I got there. Yeah. And they didn't tell me why.
Yeah.
You know? Like you feel like you're the person who's going to be
laughing in the conference room, man. That's why I got let go.
This
oh,
is,
man.
This has now become that fucking comedy show again. They booed you out of there.
I got booed at right away.
They booed me and told me to go home.
I had my little box, my little I Love Jesus coffee mug, and
Ron, kill
we walked
yourself.
On out of there. Kill yourself. We don't need you. You suck at accounting and counting. Yes, you do. You suck at it.
I've been fired. You had so much, another man. Degree, right?
Yeah, I've been fired so much, man. I got fired from the temp service.
I've never been fired.
Temp.
Let's hear about the temp service.
Like, my name tag didn't even dry. It was bad, man.
I was finishing up the G.
Man.
And they said, you go.
Is that wrong, G?
Like, now that's
keep blowing up. You got to go. Like, dang it, I'm still, can I write my name? You can finish that outside. I remember when I first got to LA, too, I had a job doing sales. And it was a equipment financing company. They actually held my job for like,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that like, if you owned a small business, like if you owned, let's just say, like a restaurant.
Fax, copy. Oh, okay, right.
And you didn't want to spend all your cash on a stove.
Yeah.
We would buy it for you, charge you 100% interest.
Well, somebody go get this eyewash station.
Yeah, yeah. This waffle maker. This $2,000 waffle maker. And we'll charge you like 100% interest on it. And you'll just be happy to pay $250 a month. But, you know, by the time you're done, you done bought 12 of them.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember I had to leave early one day to get my car fixed. My brakes was bad. And my boss was like, look, Ron, if you leave early again, I will fire you. And I was like, well, my brakes wasn't working, so I had to get it fixed. He's like, look, your hours are from 9 to 5. If you don't get here at 8 and leave after 6, I will fire you. And I was like, I have to get my brakes fixed. And he was like, okay.
He's like, listen, I ain't no accountant, yeah. But that sounds like bad math.
Listen, dude, I'm going to be here at 9, but I ain't stopping.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to roll right up into the building by 9:02.
Friday came. He walked into my desk in front of everybody, and he was like, hey, Ron, listen, here's your last check. We don't need your services. If you got any questions, concerns, and or criticisms, come see me in my office. Thank you. And walked off. And everybody in the office like looked up for a second and went back to work. And I was like, wow, this is uncomfortable. Like, he
did
fired me in front of everybody.
He made an example out of you.
He fired me.
He booed you, too.
I got booed. I got
booed again, Ron.
I got booed three times.
Did you go in his office and be like, what
terrible.
The fuck?
No, because my whole goal was like not to cry in front of people because it was kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I was the only black dude in the office. Everybody's kind of looking at me like, yeah, he got you, buddy. And I had to get to the door without crying. And I kept my chin up, and I walked out that
all
door.
All those white people, you know, they're all like, if they're thinking like
and I cried in the car, though. Actually, there was another black guy, too. He looked at me like,
he
hey,
cried in the car.
Glad it ain't me.
Yeah.
I cried in the car, though, but nobody knows that.
If they're letting a black guy go, any of us can go. Yeah. Get back to work.
Have you ever been fired before?
I was, yes, one time. One time
white
I was fired.
White people get fired? That's awesome. Don't you just
I was
lay
fired
off
one
your
time.
And stuff?
No, well,
we also
I've
show
been...
up for work on time and stay there.
My brakes work.
Because that's how we do it.
Excuse me, sir. It's hilarious.
So, I have been fired. I just took a job, too, and I was just answering phones. It was for these two ladies, and I was just fucking I was terrible.
Just at their house?
No, in an office.
Just
Marie, will you roll over, please? I'm trying
like,
to get
listen,
the phone,
baby.
Man.
I got
come to my
hold.
House.
I can't hit a ringer too well.
And I literally got up to go in that day and say, this shit's not for me. I'm not getting, you know, I'm not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to put people on that little thing, I don't even know what you call it, where you type their name in to tell you in another room, like, Ron's on hold. You know what I mean? You're like, tell him to call me back.
Don't type the name in.
You know what I mean? You're sending them a message in their office like, hey, Ron's online too. Tell him I'm busy or whatever. Uh-huh. You know, I couldn't get that shit down. You know, so I just ended up,
Ron on too. Yeah, I just started
wow.
doing that. They were like, this motherfucker.
They're like, this ain't McDonald's, bro. You're not yelling.
That's hilarious.
So they were like, yeah,
indoor drive-through window.
They agreed with me. They were like, yeah, this is not for you. But they ended up helping me get another fucking job. So I appreciate it.
How'd you meet the two ladies? Just two random ladies? You just like two
no,
ladies.
I was temping too, and they just put me with these ladies to answer phones for like a week for somebody that didn't have, that, you know, their assistant left or whatever. Yeah. So I was just
what
doing
kind of company
it.
Was it?
It was an entertainment company.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it was just a big office building, and they were in like the merchandise shit.
She's in there with like the VP of Warner Brothers, like, hey, Marie, Brad G's on the phone,
boom,
Spielberg on two. Nancy,
boom. I would you just name dropping for her, just for her benefit.
Scorsese,
so my name's
like,
Spielberg.
Check with
Pacino
your
on one. Nancy, pick up.
But I've quit. I tell you, I quit a job one time, man. And there is
isn't it the best feeling in the world. Is to quit
I was just
a job?
Gonna say there is no feeling like quitting one. When
it's like
you're,
taking a boo boo with no clothes
man,
on. You just feel free and relaxed.
Have you ever Jay
it's
Larson?
So
without giving 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, I mean defiant, like quit
once,
on the spot.
Just once.
Yeah,
but I didn't quit on the spot.
I'll
lay it out for you.
I used to do in Maryland during the summer. One of the many jobs I did pools. I would build above ground pools, and then there were like
that's
two.
So southern.
to that, yeah, right?
Above ground pools? That's hilarious.
And we would start at like 5 in the morning because it would be so fucking hot. We'd try to get out by 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to level the ground and put the track down. Build the whole fucking thing for these people.
Mm-hmm.
So
we had to build the whole goddamn thing.
It takes
a while. Complaining about it.
It takes a while to put a goddamn thing.
That's your job.
The circle ones are easy, but these goddamn... Why you got to have an octagon pool? Just
still yelling out, Nancy!
Nah, trying to level this ground. So, the owner was just a fucking... He was a dick, and he was just talk to you like you were a piece of shit. Just disrespectful. And we had two customers that wanted in-ground pools that summer. Or three. And this was one of the people. So we're building. I mean, it's a while. You know, we got the Bobcat out. We're digging it. We're getting it all level and everything. And these people, summer night, they're sitting up on their deck watching this crew of like, you know, six of us.
I hate it when somebody watch me work. It's so disrespectful.
Put this pool in their house, you know, whatever. So every day we're working for this guy. And my friend Eric finally has had enough. And he said, the guy's name was Richard. And Richard said something to Eric, and Eric's like, and he fired Eric. He's like, get out of here. You're gone.
Dick's a dick.
Yeah, Dick is a dick. You're right.
Okay, go ahead.
So we, at this point now, I've already made my decision that if this guy talks to me like this, I'm definitely gonna talk back.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out to these people's house.
You better say one fucking word. I'm waiting.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm waiting. Fist balled up. Like, bring come it. On, say something. So around like 9:30 in the morning, he already starts in. He's like, "You guys, you dumb motherfuckers! You don't know what you're doing." I said, "Listen, that's enough out of your dumb ass." He's like, "What?" I said, "That is enough out of your dumb ass." And this family is up on his deck watching. And he's like, "Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?" I said, "Who the fuck do you think you're talking to? I'm talking to you, asshole. That's who the fuck I'm talking to." He's like, "You better calm down." I'm like, "Go fuck yourself. I'm not your kid." And he's like, "Let me tell you something." I said, "Let me tell you something." I took my shovel and I chucked it like a spear right at his fucking head.
Oh, wow.
He ducked out and he's like, "What the fuck?" And I go, "Go fuck yourself." And I got out and I walked past his people and I was like, "Your pool's going to suck." And I got in the car and I drove away.
You had to say something. You got to say something powerful when you walk away. I mean, your pool's
going
to
be dirty.
Going, I'm out of here.
Pool's going to leak. And I was out.
That's smart, though. When you quit, you have to quit in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I'm
you
not
can't
working
quit
a whole
like 4:30
day.
And then
hell
quit.
No.
You want that whole day off.
I ain't coming in. I'm going to finish this hole, but I ain't coming in tomorrow.
The one place I quit, I was bartending this place. It's, you know, Amalfi, Room 5?
Yeah.
All right. Amalfi's downstairs. Room 5, they do stand-up shows, is upstairs. And next door is
Acme,
is right next door. So I used to bartend there. And the guy who, Francesco,
Francesco?
He was like part owner.
Porn star?
Italian dude. It was an Italian restaurant.
Francesco.
So he used to stay in there late night and just like drink and eat with his friends. And so I'd come in and the bar would be littered with like glassware with cigarettes out in it and stuff. And they were never stocked and they never had anything you needed. And I'm like, when is this guy going to take this? This is your fucking place. You know what I mean? I just work for you and I take more pride in the place, you know? And I rolled into work one day and the bar was just littered with, you know, glassware with cigarettes out in it and lipstick on it. And I was spent, and I just, like, I never quit a job without giving notice. And I walked over to the host. I'm like, "Yo, I'm done. Like, this is it. I'm not working here anymore. This is a joke. I'm not going to do this anymore. So I'll work till you get someone to come in, but I'm out. Like, I'm out. So I'll just set the bar up, just call someone else and get him in." She's like, "Well, no one else can come in." I'm like, "I'm setting the bar up, and I'm going to wait till 5:30, and then I'm leaving. So get someone else in here." And she's like,
"That's
okay."
Nice.
And then she called friends. I mean, I've fired a guy before, but I've never been... fire.
Did you have a power statement like he did? Like, "That's why your pool's going to sell you. Like,
oh, no,
that's why your beer's going
to
be hot."
They said he's coming in. He wants to talk to you, but he's stuck in traffic coming back from fucking Malibu where he's been all day. And I'm like, "Here's the deal. I'm done at 5:30. I'm going to go around the corner and get a beer and watch the rest of the Sox game. And then I'll come back when he's here and he can talk to me." So I left.
You waited on that?
Yeah. Came back. I'm like, "What's up, man?" He's like, "Well, you know, what's the problem?" Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, "You're a joke, dude. You don't even care about your joint. I'm not going to work here anymore. I just want my check." And he's like, "All right." And he wrote me a check. Hand wrote me. That's how shady it was. They've done a lot more improvements. It's a pretty good joke.
Is it still him?
We had a family meal. No, he died. Oh. Actually, he died.
Is he Armenian and Italian? That was an Armenian accent.
I don't know.
I read your check. I read your good check, buddy.
Apumanari. I don't know. Is that Italian?
Yeah, the Italian dude, Armenian accent. I give you good deal.
You set up bar, I give you good deal. But I had a painting business as in college.
Here we go again with his painting business.
I had my own painting business.
How many employees?
Really? Like graffiti or like a real painting?
No, real painter. First summer we did 45 grand in business. Next year we did 65.
Word.
Yeah. So 65.
Year after that, got audited, gave it all back.
Year after that, went into business solo with another buddy who ran a franchise, and we did combined, I think we did like 30, but we made so much more money because we weren't. Anyway.
Did you have employees?
Yeah. All my friends worked for me. So Derek.
How old were you then?
I was in college, 19, 20.
So wow. You fill the information out, and then like Ron and I work for you, and that's where, and you pay us. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Is that student movers, student painters?
Yeah, kind of like that. It was called College Pro Painters. You own a franchise, so I'm paying a franchise tax and all that kind of stuff. I had a DBA, you know, whatever. I had to have like a DBA. So anyway, one of my friends, Derek Sashione, he worked for me, and he just sucked. He was horrible, and I had to fire his ass.
I had to.
And then like we're still hanging out with all our friends, and I'm like, yo, like
so uncomfortable.
I got to let you go, man. And he was like, what? What are you fucking firing me for? And just he kind of got upset, but he got it. We were buds. He understood.
Painted my house last week.
It still works for me. Still works for me.
So your paint is going to be wet.
And walked away.
One of the greatest guys.
You better have a closing statement when you get fired.
Your paint's going to suck.
Your paint is going to suck.
Do you still talk to him?
I mean, no, I don't talk to him. But, I mean, if I saw him, we always got along. I mean, I'm sure if I see him, you know, it'd be great. I was confirmation sponsor for his younger brother. He had two brothers. They all had different last names.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so their mom had like brother with different dudes. So when we used to work together at this pizza place together, that's how I ended up hiring him. Like, he didn't know his dad's. So,
you recruited him out of the pizza joint?
Yeah.
Brought him out to your business, then fired him.
Yeah. So,
fuck you, I'm going back to the pizza place anyway.
One day, like, you know, my dad was never around, so this homeless guy, like, rolled into the pizza joint, and he goes, hey, Loss, I think your dad's up front. You know, like, that would be the joke. But he had so many dads, I'd be like, the Boston Red Sox would like to welcome in sections 32A, 32B, and 32C, the Sashione, you know, like, we just F with each other like that. Yeah.
And then you fired him.
And then I fired
him. Was it uncomfortable firing your friend? Like, you know,
yeah, I wasn't.
It was like a breakup. You know, you fire somebody or breakup, you have to have a speech in your head. Like, did you practice it or you just like.
No, I honestly, I don't remember how I did it, but I know that I wasn't like stoked to do it. You know what I mean?
Was it in front of people or just you and him?
No, I just, I mean, but everyone kind of knew. I wasn't super in the van. I had a van.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Come sit in the van for a minute.
I had two vans.
Grab a paint hat if you want.
After I got done using my mother's Ford Tempo and crashed that thing.
Is it a Ford Tempo? That's hilarious.
Oh my God! You said earlier you had a Boston story you wanted to share, and I wanted to before you forget this time, I want to hear about.
3 weeks ago, when I went home, I was doing Tufts University with Tommy John again. You know Tommy, So we were doing the show together, and afterwards, like a bunch of my buddies from high school came out to the show and college. So I said to Tommy, "I'm like, yo, we're gonna get drinks. You want to come?" He's like, "Yeah." And I go, "I just want to let you know we're gonna hear a lot of stories." You know what I mean? He's like, "Yeah, that's cool. I love stories." I'm like, "All right." And so my two buddies. Back home, usually someone tells a story and then someone else has another half to the story. So this is one of the greatest stories. My buddy Rye had two tickets to the Sox game, Green Monster seats, when they were like still new. Like, you sitting in the Green Monster is like the best, you know? Like, I guess I've never sat up there, but when they got those seats, everyone's like, you want those damn seats.
Those couple rows where the home run flies over your head?
You know, like on top of the... Exactly.
That goes out in the parking lot.
There's like six rows. Exactly. So my buddy Rye had two tickets to that, but he couldn't go because his niece was having a dance recital and he had to go to this dance recital.
Oh, wow.
And he was not... He's like, what? I can't believe I'm missing this game to go dance recital.
She can't even read. Dang it.
She can't see. She ain't going to know I'm there. And he didn't want to go to his dance recital. And it was the same day as was either Belmont Stakes or Kentucky Derby. Maybe Kentucky Derby. So he was going out to the dog track to place bets.
Mm-hmm.
And he called my buddy Dave. And he's like, hey, man, I'm going to the track. Do you want to put a bet in? And he's like, yeah, put like a box for $2. He bet like a box on $2, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it, you know, whatever. Then Rye finds out about the recital, realizes he can't go, calls Dave, he's like, I put your bet in. P.S. I can't go to the Sox game tonight because I got to go to this thing. Do you want my tickets to the Sox game? And he was like, yeah, man, I'll definitely go. Why? Who's going to pass up Green Monster seats?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Rye's like, fucking exactly, bro. Like, he's just pissed. So he goes to the Sox game and he's up in the wall, but he had like standing room in the back of the thing. And there were two seats by the fourth inning, like down the front, that no one had sat in. So he goes down, he's sitting in the two seats, fifth inning, he gets a phone call. It's Rye. He's like, dude, did you see the Kentucky Derby? And he's like, yeah. He goes, you won, dude. You won your ticket. You know, he hit for like, I think it was like $600. It wasn't crazy, right, but he hit like 600 or something like that. And he's like, dude, it's amazing. He's like, yeah, I'm at a dance recital. I'll call you later. You know? So he's pissed. He's at this dance recital.
Got his ticket.
This kid's got his tickets. Just hit
the fucking Kentucky Derby.
Right. Seventh inning comes around, and here come the two people whose seats those are. So they're like, you got to get out of our seats. So they're like, all right. So they get up, and they're walking back. As they're walking back, someone hits a bomb.
Come on.
My buddy turns around.
Come on.
Right? Hits him square in the chest. Boom. Just hits him in the chest. And his first reaction is like to swing out and grab it with his other hand. And he goes to swing to grab it, and it goes off his fingertips and then goes down two rows to two other people. But when he went to grab it, it looked like he was like doing this like celebration with his hand.
Like, yeah. Uh-huh.
So they put it on
Woods.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tiger Woods. Yeah.
He's doing his Tiger Woods. They put it on the Jumbotron, and Nesson, our local ESPN, just keeps playing it over and over and over again, right? He gets moved over. My buddy Rye still at the dance recital.
Right.
P.S.
Oh.
So he moves over to the other end of the thing, you know, where he has to go stand
took
now.
Took one in the chest.
He took it in the chest. He has to go to the other end of the Green Monster now to stand there. Ninth inning, where game's tied up. Boom. Home run hit right to him. He didn't catch it, but it was right at him. But he's
his chest again?
He's
hit him
another,
twice,
you got
man.
Hit another nipple? No, it went to like the guy right next to him. But he's in the midst of two home runs, you know what I mean?
That is unheard of, dude.
Rye, meantime, we go back to Rye now, who gets out of the dance recital, okay? And he's got three voicemail messages. First voicemail message is from his wife, because she had to watch the kids, couldn't go to the thing. And it says, I think I just saw Dave get hit in the chest by a baseball at Fenway. Funny. Next voicemail is Dave. Rye, it's Dave. I just got hit in the chest with a baseball at Fenway. And Rye just goes from having the most miserable day at a dance recital, and here's Dave sitting on top of the monster with a winning ticket to the Kentucky Derby, getting hit in the chest with baseballs. And then they played that clip like 10 times.
That's like the best story ever.
That's great.
For one guy, yeah.
For one guy.
For one guy.
My buddy, the guy who had the ticket, he's like always the one who like is sharing stories with us, getting us amped up. And when I was waiting tables in LA one day, he called me and he's like, you gotta watch ESPN tonight. You gotta, Gary, his dad, Gary. He goes, Gary got hit in the hands with the home run and dropped it. Uh-huh. You gotta watch it. There were Sox are playing at Toronto. His dad goes every year and they hit a home run and hit off his hands and he dropped the ball. So the next day, Rye calls me. He's like, you got to call my dad. Tell him you're from the Boston Globe. You're doing a thing on near misses in sports, you know? So I call up his dad the next day, and I pretend I'm like a Globe reporter and shit. It's the kind of Rye would
buy it.
I think for a little while, and then I'm like, we're just doing it. It's on near misses. We saw your video last night, and then he just like just starts dying. He knows it's me.
Wow.
That's what we always do.
It's a great story, man.
Yeah, man.
Did you, did you play baseball growing up at all?
Yeah, I played baseball in high school and then in college.
Where'd you play at in college?
St. Anselm College, a small D2 school.
Okay.
It's not like, it's like, I was explaining to someone recently, D2 in the North ain't like D2 in the South. Like, if you play D2 baseball in the South, you get drafted and shit. You know what I mean? Did you play baseball growing up?
I played in middle school.
Middle school?
I played middle school. That was about it.
For the Tigers.
Detroit?
South Carolina Junior.
Yeah, Buffalo Pork is what we played for.
Have you ever caught a foul ball?
No.
At a game?
No.
You never caught a foul ball?
I've never caught a foul ball, home run. Never had a guy flip me a ball. No.
All the games, huh?
I never hit a home run. I was hit it to the fence.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. That was my career.
I did in college. One game at Merrimack College, I went 3-for-3.
Uh-huh.
And the first one, I crushed it to left center, and I just started trotting. I just started trotting. Like, that's
watching
gone.
It, yeah.
That's gone. Boom, off the top of the fence. I start chugging the second. I get in. My buddy's like, what are you, Jose Canseco? You think you're hitting home runs? Next one, next time up, boom, same exact spot.
Yeah.
I start trotting again. Boom, off the fence again. Three of them, same exact spot. I was just on, and I didn't hit. I mean, I've hit home runs. That wasn't one. That was a day that I thought I had.
That was my story. I always hit it to the fence, man.
Yeah. I only ever hit two when I was in Little League. First one I crushed, and I just didn't know, so I was sprinting. And when I ran it first, my coach was like, it's gone, you can jog. And I was like, huh? You know, like,
sprint my ass off.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then the second one, I knew that shit was gone. I remember we used to laugh because it was a commercial. If you ate the green M&M, remember that weird commercial you hit a home run?
Mm-hmm.
And I had one with a peanut in it. And the first time I got up, I grounded out. And the second time I hit a home run, I was like, yeah, Mama, we were all eating green M&Ms on that bench.
Yeah.
Played for the fucking Dodgers.
And I know you're a Ravens fan, too. You grew up playing football, too?
No, I didn't. I started playing football. And then
like Pee Wee League?
Yeah. And then when my parents got divorced, they stuck us in soccer because that's the only sport they could make. So I didn't get to play.
I did. I played in middle school and high school. It's actually pretty good. I played quarterback, cornerback, and receiver.
Nice, dude. Yeah.
I started quarterback when I was in middle school. And my freshman in high school.
Dude, you were the quarterback of the football team.
I was, man. I got knocked out, though. I got knocked
out.
In high
school? You got knocked out?
And I played Pop Warner. I got knocked out. I remember I had a quarterback draw because none of my teammates could catch.
In Pop Warner?
Yeah, I used to run.
Is that every play?
No one could catch. None of my friends could catch. I think it was a quarterback.
Throw this to yourself, Ron.
Wide open. I run past the linebacker. I'm wide open. I could hear my mom like, go, go. Everybody standing up, go. And I can see this tall dude coming at my peripheral. He grabbed my jersey and slung me down. And I woke up, and all I know, my mom was like on the field crying, like, baby, what's wrong, baby? What's wrong? And I'm like, huh? Huh? But it felt good. I think I made the local paper.
Did you really? Boy, survives tackle.
Got knocked out, man. I don't remember nothing.
We used to, whenever we played in high school, and whatever sport it was, if we, scored a goal, whatever it was, wrestled, whatever, won, we would always go steal somebody's paper in the neighborhood just so we could look for our names in the sports section. Like, we weren't buying one at all. We were like, just take that guy's out of the driveway. Hurry up, get that.
Yeah.
Then we go read our names. You're all proud of yourself.
Man, I love playing football. I love to do. I used to, two-a-days, though. Two-a-days, practice two-a-days. In the morning.
We did that, like, for the first week before the season started.
Oh, man, it used to be painful, dude. Smelling like grass, and the South is just so hot and sticky, and you got fresh-cut grass on you, and just smelling like outside.
Yeah.
The outside smell.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, you're in the South, your grandma's sitting in the cool air. Like,
that grass.
The house smelling like outside. Yeah. Go back outside and wash.
You know what people don't get, like young people don't get, is that like you're never going to have team sports ever again in your life.
You're right.
I mean, if you can get 11 dudes together to play soccer, you know what I mean? To have officials and shit, like you're just not going to have that.
For 90% of people, it's over after high school.
Oh, pretty much.
Maybe more.
Yeah,
and then church some people getting caught.
No,
church league, softball, office league,
none of that shit does not
terrible. No, office league,
office softball team.
Ron, we're gonna have to let you go, man. What did I do? That's this office league team you started.
Boom!
God damn,
boom,
man!
The office league. I just bought this glove. Jesus,
I'm still breaking it in. Damn it!
Terrible.
How did you break in your glove?
I don't think I knew anything about breaking a glove. I would just sit on it.
Yeah.
Because we used to have to catch a big pickup truck on the back. Like, in the South, we just ride, like, 10 of us on a pickup truck. We just sit on our glove because,
The
truck be hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we did. Just sat on that glove. That was it.
I remember we used to, I think I only got one new glove. It was from my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like shaving cream. Up the leather and then put a ball in it and tie a string around it and then put it under your bed. Like under your mattress, like in between the mattress and the box.
Did it help or it just smell better? Like, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah. No, that like breaks down the leather and then, gets it loose. And then like you just start working it. And then after that, I was just always like, I'd get other people's gloves. Like, I'm like, you done with that glove? You got a new glove? What'd you do with that old glove? And then I'd take that one.
Hey, you see my shaving cream?
We put a little oil. And then,
olive?
Yeah. A little oil. Just olive oil. No, oil.
Fish.
And then rubber bands and balls in it. And then just... Yeah, constantly bending it backwards, that shit. Putting it under the car tire, letting the car sit on it.
And what position did you play?
I played, in high school, I played third base until my junior year, then I moved outfield. I pitched, too, back and forth, and then college pitching in outfield, yeah.
Yeah, did you get the pitcher's elbow or whatever?
Yeah, my elbow used to, it got so bad, so bad in college that I was taking, four Advil just before, after warm-ups. Yeah.
From what, throwing a curve the wrong way?
No, just
what?
Like my, I just, every dude has a different way of, where their arm hurts, and mine was always in the elbow. And this is when I was playing outfield, we were just getting loose. I mean, I've said this before, but my last game in college, I went 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts, backwards, looking on outside sliders, and I went over to my coach, and after the second time, I'm like, I'm done, dude.
Kruk.
I'm done.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I think that's how John Kruk ended. I want to say...
He was over it.
He was over it, and he just walked off, struck out, walked into the dugout, and got his shit, and
just
got
went
the
home.
Car.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was
that's
it.
About
like,
right.
I'm done, man. I'm done.
Yeah. My elbow got messed up from playing football. Just throwing a lot.
I bet.
Like, even now when I do like this, it pops, like, just for no reason.
Oh, really?
The heck? Yeah.
My thumb used to do that, like, this thumb, because it would catch sometimes, and then it would get popped out. You know what I mean? So still this day, like, it's loose, and every now and then you just snap it the wrong way.
You can't even get a good choke in nowadays.
A good
choke nobody. You got to choke them like this. You can't even just use your hand. You
can't
anymore.
Even use hand choking. Cool.
I'm still surprised by the foul ball. Like, I haven't gotten a bunch of foul balls, but...
How many have you gotten?
I've gotten, how many did I get? Two. I got two. But I should have had three. Mm-hmm. Should have had three. People got aggressive next to me. My first one wasn't even at a professional baseball game.
Oh, Jesus. What are you talking about?
Did a Walmart and fill up the shelf?
I got it. That Ron G's middle school game.
Wait to hear the story. This is when I first moved here. It was a Sunday afternoon. I smoked a joint, and I was driving safely on Olympic in Beverly Hills, and I passed a Little League field. And I was like, you know what? I had nothing to do, nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it has been forever since I've sat and watched a Little League. And these weren't like peewees. These were like elementary school kids, maybe like fourth, fifth grade, you know, Bad News Bears type shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to watch this. So I park and I go sit up on the bleachers. I'm in the last row, and it's packed. It's a competitive game. And this
hot dogs,
this kid fouls I'm gonna get six. This kid fouls a ball back, and I go to get it, and I hold it, and I don't say anything to anybody. I walk back to the bleachers, and the reason I held it is because the kid pitching was the son of this guy in the front row who had been politely suggesting what these kids should do. The coach, however, did not care for that and was like, yo, I'm the coach. You sit there and mind your business. And he's like, well, you know, these are just kids here. Let's let them have a little bit of fun. He's like, mm-hmm. I don't need your opinions. You're not the coach. I'm the coach. So there's a guy on second and third, and he intentionally walks this little kid. And even the parents are like, he's like, it's Little League, man. Let them play. He's like, you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. And at this time, I see the guy turn a little bit, and he's wearing gold reading glasses, and it's got that chain, you know, that gold chain that comes on him.
Yeah.
And I said, damn, that kind of looks like Pete Rose. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way Pete Rose will let this guy talk to him like that in public. Nor would I believe somebody would talk to Pete Rose Charlie Hustle telling you how to fucking run your baseball team. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
come on, man, I got 300 on that kid.
And he's like, that's my kid pitching. And he's like, I don't give a shit. He's on my team.
So the guy with the chain,
he was the one on the bleacher sitting. Okay, and the coach is yelling at him. And I'm, you know, now the whole time I'm angling over like, is that Pete Rose? So I get the idea, in case that's Pete Rose, I'm keeping this ball because his son was pitching with it. I'm going to get Pete Rose to sign this shit after the game.
Ryan Rose.
And and then that coach said something else, and then that was it. And Pete Rose stood up and he said, you listen to me. I said, oh, it's Pete Rose. Like, I couldn't help myself. Like,
you yelled it out?
Yeah, like, but to myself, it was Pete Rose.
It was Pete Rose?
It was 100% Pete Rose.
Shut up.
And Pete Rose stood up and got in that guy's ass, and parents had to calm him down and shit.
Oh, that's great.
And after I will never forget this. I had an Orioles mesh batting jersey on, and I was
Oreos.
Like,
Oreos.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to go over and get this ball autographed. So I go over to him, and I give him a pen, and he goes to sign the ball, and the fucking pen dies. I'm like, you got to be. He's like, sorry, man, next time. So he's walking with his kid to his car across the park, and I'm like, fuck. So I go back over, and there's this lady, a group of ladies standing. I'm like, excuse me, do any of you have a pen I could borrow? I promise you I'll bring it back. And so he's like, yeah, here you go. What ended up, she was his wife.
Oh,
so he was waiting for her anyway. I sprint. I'm all. Will you sign this for me? So he signs it, and I get Pete Rose's autograph on his little son's ball, who's pitching at this Beverly Hills thing, and I save it for years. And just like 2 years ago, my cousin had a little boy, and I said, you know what, here, give this to me. Well, at this point, Pete Rose admitted to everything. Yeah, shit ain't worth anything, mm-hmm. But I give it to him, and he's like, are you about to kill yourself? I said, no, man, I just passed
it was
some
in the
shit
wheel.
On
the wheel, yeah,
he's like, this is like a Ty Cobb ball right here. You understand that? I'm like, it would have been. It maybe would have been.
And for you, this is the pen from Pete Rose's wife. She let me borrow this. I never gave it back.
I never gave that shit.
I never gave it back
to Mrs. Rose.
It's only a pen, mate, but you know.
It was Pete fucking Rose, man.
Look at it, still has.
See where we could take you.
My buddy used to coach this like boys and girls club team in Santa Monica. So they were up to 12 years old, and they got to the finals, and I went to the final game, and he had like all the thugs on his team. Like, they were all thugs. Nobody in the league wanted him, wanted them. And my buddy Tony and Andy, Andy was a head coach, Tony was assistant coach, and they would coach this, these kids, and they got to the championship game. Championship game, they're down by, they're up by two, right? There's like 10 seconds left. The other team comes down, pops a three, hits it at the buzzer to win, right? That team goes ballistic. They come out. They're on the court. They're going bananas. The parents are out on the court. My buddy Andy and Tony's team, they're crying. You know what I mean? They lost. And the ref is going, no, no, no. His foot was on the line. His foot was on the line. It's a two. It's a two. It's a two. So the game would be tied.
Right.
We're going overtime. I've never seen anything like it. Well, it turns out one of the kids on the other team's dad was Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
Oh, shit.
Wrestler.
Boxer.
Boxer.
He's the guy that killed that dude in the ring.
Punched the guy to death.
Punched him. He didn't want to. The ref should have stopped it, but he was like, wow, you should stop this shit. And the ref's like, nah, it's all right. Go ahead.
So that Ray Boom Boom
Mancini. I feel like
Mancini,
he lives in the Palisades.
Well, he lives close by because the kid was playing the boys.
Boom
and girls,
Boom. Yeah.
Gets up in my boy Andy's face. You
so
know?
Boom Boom's on the other side.
Yeah, saying, this is ridiculous. The game should be over, blah, blah, blah. And he's not.
Ref called it.
Exactly. Ref calls it. And my buddy Andy goes,
because I'd have been like, boom, that was a three. It was a three. It was a three.
No, and Andy goes, you settle down, Ray. And yelled it. Like, my boy wouldn't swear, you know, like, because.
Who said that to him?
My buddy Andy, who was coaching the team. Because, when things are going bad with his team, you just hear him go, good Lord. And that's what he would yell. Like
he doesn't cuss.
No, not like you can't. You
right,
know?
Yeah, he kids.
Gets in Ray Boom Boom Mancini's face.
Wow.
They go to overtime. My boy's team wins it. Wins the whole thing.
Right? What did Ray say?
He wasn't happy.
Ray's like, I'm gonna kill your ass outside.
Oh,
shit,
man.
Right?
What? And so I don't know when that was, but he killed somebody in the ring.
He did.
It was in the
80s, right?
80s,
yeah.
Really?
He,
I didn't know either.
The guy died. He died. He fucked him up. He died. And it changed him too. It bothered him. He was not. It wasn't like, you know, like, that's right, motherfucker. It was like, man, I didn't want to do that. I knew that shit was bad news.
Yeah, of course. Did y'all see Mike Tyson One Man Show by any chance?
I haven't seen it.
No, have you?
You see it? I saw it for my birthday, man. It was really good.
I saw the.
Where is it?
I saw it in Orange County, but it's so funny because I feel like. Go ahead.
Real Sports did a piece on it. I saw like a 10-minute piece about this, so I want to see it. So you actually saw
it? I saw it.
Show?
It was actually really good. Only problem was, if you look at his life, there was nothing good to happen besides him being a champ.
Really?
That's why I was like missing.
He was troubled.
Because I love music. Because I love movies. Even when you see a villain, there's something redeeming about him. You're like, oh, but he's just been through so much stuff in his life. By the time he was done, I was like waiting on the punchline. Like, okay, it was just,
you know, basically, I grew up in a place where, you know, I just, you know, you have to fight. I fight and I stole and I just hurt people. And I didn't want to hurt anybody. And then, you know.
What about the pigeons? That wasn't a good thing?
No, I love pigeons. They were awesome. And I just love pigeons. I let them go and they were like my family, you know.
I let them go.
Yeah, but it was really cool to see him like that, you know. And I can tell he worked on it too. Like,
who directed it?
His wife.
Oh, his wife.
His current wife.
No.
She said
Spike
she
Lee.
Did. Really?
I think Spike Lee directed it.
She's because they have her backstage doing his makeup and going over everything, like rehearsing with him and all that.
Promise you, I think Spike Lee has him do it too, man.
Well,
I was waiting on the Spike Lee shot.
I asked,
get the Spike Lee shot. Did someone into the camera?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
I just imagined it was someone. I remember hearing about it, and like, you know, I thought it was someone big. That's why
it was very impressive, man. Just for him, and just to see he's been working on himself and stuff like that.
Well, that interview where they, and I forgot about this, but his daughter was killed on the exercise machine. The cord wrapped. Do you remember this? A few years back. Yeah, the cord wrapped around her neck.
What cord?
There was some kind of, I don't know if it was a, I don't know if it was a treadmill or what, but something, I don't know what power, I don't know what cord, but it wrapped around her neck and they couldn't get it.
Yeah, he mentioned that too, man.
And he started crying on this piece here and he was like, you have to go now. You have to go. He was like, they're like, what did you do to deal with it? And he's like, I did cocaine and drugs for like a week. And they're like, that's what you did to deal with it? And he's like, that's what I did to deal with it.
They're like, so you didn't deal with it?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, something.
It bothered him. I mean, clearly he stopped the interview and stuff, and then they gave him a few, and I think he came back.
He's just been through a lot, man. And just to see how dope he was, man, when they were showing like little clips of him when he first started and how young he was.
Oh, my God.
He used to wear a fucking towel with a hole cut in it and just throw it off. But who's next?
He was incredible.
And then drop dudes in the first round.
Yeah. And that's the dope part about just our generation, man. We got a chance to see Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying?
Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson. Like all these great people,
Mike Tyson.
P.S. They showed a clip of Jordan today on ESPN, and it was ridiculous how quick that guy was. I mean, quick cuts, moves. That dude had everything.
Man, he was awesome, bro.
And then they also just said that out of everybody that's had at least 20, 10, and 8 in a – or led their team in points, rebounds, and assists in a playoff game, Jordan did it twice in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Bird did it 3 times. LeBron's already done it 8. That's pretty insane.
That's pretty insane.
He's the shit.
We'll see where it is when it's all said and done, though.
He's going to be
About him. It's about the team, though. Jordan had a damn good team.
He had a great team.
Yeah.
He had a
damn good team.
Everybody was a legend.
And this is what always amazed me the most about the team. What was it? 90. What was it when they won like 100 games or whatever the hell it was?
They won 72. They
were unbeatable. Yeah. That was Rodman. Yeah. So the same year that Jordan was the leading point scorer, Rodman was led the league in rebounds.
Yeah, with like 17.2 boards a game or something.
And 2 points total for the whole season.
But if your guy is the guy that's scoring the most in the NBA, you're not getting a lot of rebound opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you're still leading the league in rebounds.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
You're a beast.
He is a beast.
I had Rodman throw money at me on stage one time.
What?
Rodman did?
I am not lying. Dude, promise me. It was the weirdest thing ever, man.
Tell the story.
He came in the Laugh Factory. He had on like a blouse and like this big colorful
hat.
It was something uncomfortable. Yeah,
he wears blouses.
And he sat in the back. And every time I made him laugh, he would just come and throw money on the stage.
He'd get up and walk up there and throw money and go sit back down.
And go sit back down. But it was wet. I'm like, why are you giving me wet ones? Like, this is uncomfortable. I'm so serious. That was like one of the oddest days of my comedy career.
You took them, though.
Yes, I did. It's like, Dennis Rodman gave me these wet worms.
Worms throwing dude. Wet ones
he's
at
got
me.
Got them framed at home.
Yep. Every time he does it, everybody would just cheer. Like, yeah. It was weird.
Kim Jong Lee was with him.
Kim Jong. I do have a, I don't know if I've ever told this before, so I won't make it a long story, but I have a good foul ball story that is a nice comeback to yours.
Mm-hmm. You can't top this, but go ahead.
Well, a friend of mine, who I'll make this a short story, but anyway, his father dying from a brain tumor. And his friend is his frat brother.
It better be short when you're starting off with
right,
that.
His frat brother, his dad was something in the Senate for Maryland. I don't know exactly what, but it was when Ripken was breaking the streak.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I'm going to get you 2 tickets. His dad at this point is very bad off. He's in a wheelchair, suffering seizures. It's not long before he's gone. And he's like, I'm going to get you 2 tickets. I want you to take your dad to go see Cal break that streak. I want you to, you know, want that to be one of the things at least your dad and you can share together. You'll remember that the rest of your life. And in that game, they made special balls for Major League Baseball where they used orange stitching. They put 2131 on. It had a number 8. Like, it was specifically used for this game and this game only. And back then, this is... I don't remember when count 90, what, 4 or 5-ish?
Yeah,
so 95. They had a big-ass cell phone, and the only reason they had a cell phone at all was in case something happened with the dad, they had to call someone right away. So his mom calls, and she's just checking in. He's like, oh, you know, Joan Jett's sitting over here. The president's right over here. We're in these money seats and blah, blah, blah. A foul ball! And the phone goes dead. And he calls his mother back, and he's like, I just caught a ball. I just caught a game ball. And she's like, no, you didn't. He's like, yes, I did. While he's talking to her, a foul ball comes back, and he just snags it with his left hand. So he gets it. And now he's got an actual game-used ball from this fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
So they start telling people about it. Like, yeah, I took my kid, you know, or I took my dad and, you know, the mom. I took my son took, and my husband went, and he caught a foul ball. And I guess through word of mouth, some reporter heard about it and wrote like a nice little father-son story, you know, hey, here's one Cal going to break the streak, sharing it with your dad. And somehow it got to Cal. And Cal's like, well, I'd like to meet those kids and sign that ball. So my buddy Chris could not go, but his younger brother Corey went, and they met. And Cal not only signed the ball, but he backdated it to the night of that streak. And it's the only ball signed with his name and the date that he broke that streak.
That's tight.
And we're like, what did you fucking say to Cal? He's like, I froze up, man. I just said thanks. We're like, what? That's it?
What do you say?
I don't know. You could at least have some kind of conversation with the guy. I'll make up something.
Hi.
Anything. Like, could I get a jersey? Could he keep asking for shit, man? At least that.
Can I get a jersey?
But Cal signed the ball for him, backdated the shit, and gave it to him. I was like, man, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. Boom, there you go. And It's in the family forever if they want it. If they don't, that ball's worth some goddamn money. That is a game used ball signed and dated the one in the world.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Have you ever had a starstruck moment where you met somebody you admired and couldn't say nothing?
Mm-mm.
So you just everybody you cool with?
I've just never met anybody that like I was
like De Niro.
I've never met anyone like huge.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Who's your Dennis Rodman throwing ones at you?
That's and Eddie Murphy, man.
Oh,
you met Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, he came. I was hosting in the belly room, and I was just sitting down waiting to go up, and he came in the room. He sat right next to me. And it was so uncomfortable because the whole time I was there, everybody came up and saying stuff like, "Yo, like, you know, you're the best, and you know, congrats and everything." And I'm like, I wanted to say, I didn't know what to say to him.
Yeah,
I just sat there, I punked out. I was like, I could have shook his hand. I could have said something. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, actually, I did have one, and it was Robin Williams.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I was at the same thing. I was in the belly room,
yeah.
And someone texted me from downstairs and like, yo, FYI, Robin Williams is on his way here. He's going to do the OR.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, boom. I run downstairs, get in the back of the OR in that little back corner there. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm holding court right here. Byron Allen comes in because he asked Byron to show up to introduce him, you know. And I was never...
For who?
For Robin Williams.
He asked Byron.
They're boys, dude. They came up together.
But Byron Allen. But if I was in town, stuff. I wouldn't be calling you up and be like, just come up and introduce me.
They may have been, he's like, yo, I'm going to go. He's like, will you come and just do some time before me? Yeah. And so he did. Now, I was never a stand-up fan, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have albums and all that stuff. So I only really liked Robin Williams from movies and stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's what, and Good Will Hunting was that's what made me move to L.A. So I'm sitting there waiting for Ron Williams to go up, and I don't know how he got to right next to me. I think he came through the bathrooms, you know, that little door. And I just turn, and there's Robin Williams standing right next to me. I go, oh, my God, bro. and he's just looking at me. I'm like, dude, I'm a huge fan. I'm like, it's an honor to meet you. And he shakes my hand. He goes, I'm sure it is. And it was
is that what he
really
said?
Hilarious. I started dying. I'm like, that's so fucking funny. And then Byron Allen goes, Robin Williams. And then I watched 5 minutes him doing impressions and shit. And I'm like, this is weak. And I bounced.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Did Eddie get up at all?
No, he
never gets up.
Yeah, I actually met Cat Williams too, man. I wound up going to his house. It was the weirdest thing ever.
That's got to be.
But this is when he was on top. Like when he was on top,
yeah.
I met him then.
That's so. I mean, I'm only laughing because it was like 2 years ago
that he was on top.
It was like yesterday.
But he was like really on top.
Yes, he was huge.
Like, where was
great?
Is this in LA?
He went crazy.
It was LA. I was at the Comedy Store, and his assistant walked up to me and was like, "Hey, Cat, want me to give you this?" And I'm like, "What?" She put like $1,200 in my hand. And I was
what?
Like, I was like, "For me?" And she was like, "Yeah, he knows it's hard being a comedian, and he wants to meet with you." And I'm like, "Word? Like me?" I'm like, "Who am I?" You know?
Right.
And so,
You know, I'm the same Ron G that did the Atlanta show. They got booed.
Yeah.
You know that,
and
right?
So,
he's like, I started to boo, man.
I got invited to his house, so I went to his house and I was ringing the doorbell. I was calling, and nobody answered the phone. So I'm like sitting outside in Calabasas.
Did you go right from the show to there?
It was like a couple days
that's
later.
That's a ride.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Like, did you call her?
Like 10 in the morning. I got his assistant number. I kept calling her. Nobody answered the door. And so I see like kids playing outside, and I'm like outside the gate just looking stupid. Like, okay, should I leave? But I really want to meet this guy. And I waited outside for about 45 minutes to an hour. And finally, somebody came and opened the gate, and he let me in.
You waited that long, for real?
Before, I gave $1,200.
No, I'm not blaming you for it. I'm saying before they came was 45 minutes to an hour.
If you want to meet your idol, like, I don't know who you admire.
He's still out there?
I'm not blaming you for waiting.
Like,
I'm saying, I can't believe they took that long to come get
you. I can't believe it either. Yeah. And I wasn't sure if the house was the right one because, like, there's a gated
cat's
community.
Out back riding
there's
his
gate. So I'm waiting outside the gate, but I can see his house outside the gate.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
right.
This is kind of creepy. I feel like I'm stalking. So I finally get in, and they invited me downstairs, and I met his kids. The kids just super cool, man. I met his assistant. We sitting down talking, and I waited downstairs for another hour. And I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. Like, why does he keep making me wait? So I finally get upstairs, and he has a doorbell on his room door. I've never
like
seen
a house doorbell on
a double door for his room, and it was a doorbell. And and so the assistant pressed the doorbell, like, boom, boom. He's like, hello. And she was like, Ron G,
send him in.
So I go sit in his room. He got this huge bed, and I'm sitting like on this chair across from the bed. And he's like,
is he in the bed?
No, he's just walking around. It's so funny because every time he asks me something.
Wearing? Like pajamas or
like a wife beater, a satin robe, and I think he had
like a
do-rag on.
Top hat.
Yeah.
Just a regular dude, man. Like a regular dude. And I remember sitting there, and every time he would ask me something, he would disappear.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
And I was like 4 years.
I'm like, and I look around, he'd be gone. I'm like, what the heck? What happened? And then he'll come back. He'll
be like, so you have this one joke. Would make a great sketch.
I'm like, thank you. And I look up, and he's gone again. I'm like, this is so weird.
Is he wanting to, like, buy your material to do something?
I don't know. I think he was
like,
trying to do a sketch show at the time.
Yeah.
And I think he, like, wanted to turn one of my jokes into a sketch. I don't know. But anyway.
Is 1200 good?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know. But I remember we was talking, and he asked me a question about what I want to do with my career. And, like, the way he thinks, he's such a smart guy, like, just because of the media and how they portray him. But he's a really smart guy. When you've seen so much and you've done so much, everything he said was, like, so above my head. He was like,
yeah. So what's stopping you from being who you are?
And I'm like, money, TV? I don't know. Like, I don't really know. But he was like, you can create your own, like I do. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I remember leaving, and I played with his kids again, and I left. And I was like, that was the most amazing, uncomfortable
3 hours of my life.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, Will Smith lives down the street. I paid cash for my house. And I was like, that's great, man. It was just so amazing to see him. Like, the halftime I was there, I was just looking at him like, you're Cat Williams, and you want to see me. Like,
yeah,
who
man.
Am I? But it was great.
That's pretty tight. Dude, I mean, I love Cat Williams.
I do, too. Man, I think he's so great, goddamn man. Funny. He
Cat's brilliant, man.
When I first started doing stand-up in L.A., he would come into this room. It's now Bubba Gump Shrimp on the pier, but it used to be called the Boathouse back in the day. And they would do the second Friday of every month. It, to this day, it's still one of my favorite rooms because you would get 15 minutes, and that was hard to get. It was on the Santa Monica Pier.
Okay.
And Cat would come in, but back then, he was Cat in the Hat. He wasn't Cat Williams. He was Cat in the Hat.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And he ran a room down at Hollywood Park. Yep, the casino.
I heard about that. Yeah,
he ran a black room in the casino. I remember when he popped, and then it was just see you later, straight to the top. Yeah, he held out. He told Comedy Central he wanted $1 million for a special, and they were like, you can go fuck yourself. Viacom's not paying you $1 million. And he held out, and he just got bigger and bigger, and he got $1 million out of their ass.
Good for him.
Genius, man.
I don't know if you guys, if you don't know who Cat Williams is, you have to look him up, first of all. But I don't know what happened with the meltdown.
Never in the history of niggerdom has a nigger. I'm a boy, Damon.
I'm sorry. It's random. All right. Love Cat Williams. Dude is great.
With the whole crazy shit and Target and everything, man, he is, I don't know what the hell he's thinking, but he's crazy. He makes me laugh. Have you seen the videos of him walking into the crowd in Oakland and smacking that guy in the fucking face?
I didn't. I see him go off on the Mexicans in Arizona.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Is that the same one?
No, that's a different one. But he went off on the Mexicans in Arizona. But in Oakland, someone was talking shit to him, and he walked off the stage, took the mic with him, went out, and like I think he smacked him across the face or did something to him. And then,
in Oakland?
Yes, and walked right back up on the stage.
Had to be a white guy. That didn't happen in Oakland.
And then he flipped out on stage in Oakland.
At a meltdown, right?
Yeah.
I heard about that.
And then someone came out and said that someone spiked him with some shit. I don't know. I don't know. That's the last I heard of that video. But
I golf with these two kids, and they're both valets at this hotel in Santa Monica that's kind of like a baller hotel. And so, like, they had their day off, and I was just, like, paired up with them, you know? So we're golfing. I'm like, oh, what do you guys do? We're going back and forth. And they're like, oh, you're a comedian. I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, dude. They're like, dude's like, tell them your story, bro. I'm like, what's your story, bro? And he goes, all right, the other night, Cat Williams is at the hotel, and so is Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx, Cat Williams, and they get into it like a scuff, because Jamie Foxx, I guess, couldn't stand Cat Williams, according to this story. So Jamie Foxx and Cat Williams kind of go at it and shit, and Jamie Foxx is too drunk to drive home, so he asks this hotel to have someone drive him home, so this kid gets to drive Jamie Foxx's Phantom. Okay, Phantom Rolls Royce.
They're not taking him in another car and coming to get the car later.
No,
they're
rental.
They have another car following.
They
have another car following.
Wreck. Yeah, yeah.
No,
a witness.
The hotel has like they're
how
like.
How old do you think this kid is?
This
20s?
Kid? No, yeah, he's like in his 20s. Like,
and they're letting him drive Jamie Foxx's Phantom.
Jamie told him like, we want this kid to drive the Phantom, so he drives home, and the whole time, Jamie's in the front seat, his boy's in the
singing?
Back seat.
He was singing songs?
No, he's talking shit about Cat Williams. That mother little fuck, that little shit, like just ripping into him. And then he called Steve Harvey while he's in there. He's like, motherfucking, you know starts bitching out Cat Williams to Steve Harvey, and Steve Harvey's going back and forth, and this kid's just like, I can't believe I'm driving to Jamie Foxx's house in his Phantom while he's bitching about Cat Williams
talking to Steve Harvey. About it, in a comedy triangle in the Phantom.
Yeah,
so funny.
That's crazy.
I'm like, did he hook you up? And he's like, yeah, he hit me with like $300 or $400 or something like that. I'm like, dude, just that's sick. And
but you also got to drive a Phantom. You're probably not going to get to do that again the rest of your life. Life. Especially Jamie Foxx.
He dinged it going in the driveway.
No. I was going to say,
dinged it. That's
hey,
like
blame it on the alcohol, Jamie. Come on, man. Exactly. It's not my fault.
Exactly.
Blame it on the goose. Got me feeling loose.
Well, Ron G, we are out of time, man. Thank you for coming
man,
by and doing
you, fellas,
this.
Man.
We really appreciate it.
Fantastic.
One more time with your Twitter and website again, please.
Comedian Ron G. Comedian R-O-N-G is my Twitter. My Instagram, Comedian R-O-N-G. My website is gorong.com. Has all my websites on it. Every Sunday I'm at the Laugh Factory 8 and 10 o'clock, and then also Yen Sushi at Fox Hills Mall, Westfield, and Culver City every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Jay Larson Comedy. I'm Ryan Sickler on Twitter, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.
Bye.